Praise the Lord. I'll stand if you will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you put the call in our hearts, Lord, to be here tonight to hear your precious word. Lord, to sing songs, to uplift your precious name. Lord, we're such a blessed people, Lord, to have this desire. Lord, we are so glad, Lord, to be able to come and with saints of like precious faith, Lord, and have a burning desire, Lord, to do this right, Lord, to not only come to church, Lord, but to make it live in our lives. Lord, that we may go home to be with you, Lord, that's why we're doing this. That's why you gave us this desire. Lord, we're not here to waste time, Lord, we're here to serve you. Lord, we just appreciate you now. We ask you to have your way in each and every phase of the service. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and honor that's due unto you. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So thankful. I'd like to turn to page 256 in our big books. I have found the way. I have found the way that leads to endless day, yonder in the glory land. And the road is bright, for Jesus is the light, and our hope is guiding hand. Oh, turn our little books now to 26. It used to be when I was sinning, Satan stood off somewhere grinning as the pleasures that he brought just turned on me, and tears came flowing like rain falling. Then I heard my Savior calling, you can't go on anymore, just lean on me, and I won't go without Jesus. I won't walk without Jesus. day as before. I won't go without Jesus, just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. Beggar lame at the gate, just sitting, all his life he'd been regretting, 'cause he never stood or walked down the street. And Peter and John happened by his way, look on us. Peter did say, rise up and walk in the name of the Lord. He jumped to his feet, amen. Oh, I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus, just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. Amen. Is that your desire? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 174. I only believe. Amen. What a wonderful day that's going to be. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. When we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I'm waiting for the chariot to swing low, and I'll step it in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Amen. forward to that day. Amen. Praise his name. Dad, would you take up the offerings this time? Amen. Amen. Feeling so much better. Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. Devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Amen. Let's go on. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone up there need upon their heart? Up raising her hand. Amen. Let's just bow our heads before him. Precious Heavenly Father, we, Lord, we're so thankful for people, Lord, to be living in such an hour, Lord, such a blessed people. Lord, with the opportunity, Lord, to show the life of Jesus Christ in this day and age. Lord, sure, we make mistakes, Lord, but that ain't our desire. Lord, we're so thankful for your precious blood that covers us. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have a little place together, Lord, that can stay clean and pure before you. Lord, it's your mercy and your grace in our lives. Lord, is each one of us signifying the raising of our hands to have a need in our life? Lord, an unspoken request. Lord, we take it before you, Lord, and we ask you to meet each need according to your perfect will. Lord, you said you would meet our needs, Lord, and we trust in you, Lord. We believe you. Lord, we love you with all our hearts. Lord, just meet each need in a mighty way, Lord. The little bride all over the earth, wherever she may be. Lord, some being persecuted, Lord, I'm sure right now. Lord, we ask you to strengthen her, Lord, to be with her. Help lead and guide her, Lord, through the terrible times they have to go through. Lord, that one of these days we can all meet on the other shore. Lord, after this battle's over, Lord, we shall wear a crown. Lord, just have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your perfect will and your glory. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a song in their heart? A special? Anything at all? Amen. Let's take one more little course then before we ask for brother to come. Page 360. Amen. I only believe greater is he that's in me. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. God has promised us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with the power greater than. Amen. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the whole world know. Oh, Let's all stand at this time. So we ask our brother to come. Let's sing out a little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to
to be here this evening. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, we just thank you for your precious word that's laying here before us. And Father, as we will renew our minds to some scriptures and some quotes this evening, Lord, we're praying that you, Lord, will dip it into our hearts, maybe in a little special way. Father, though we may have heard these things many times, but Lord, may it just strike our hearts maybe in a special manner. And Father, we just ask that you would bless our pastor this evening. Lord, strengthen his body and encourage him. And Lord, raise him up. Father, whatever the need may be, that he would be able to come back and be with us. And Father, we pray for any others that can't be here this evening. Lord, that you would strengthen them, encourage them. And Father, just keep your hand upon those that may be traveling and watch over them. And Father, if you should tarry till Sunday, may we all come back together, Lord, hungry. And asking you to feed us, Lord, and looking upon that precious word, Lord, for eyes have from you. That, Lord, you would open up our hearts and reveal these things to us in a greater manner. That, Lord, our lives would truly be pleasing to you in everything we do and say. And, Father, we ask it all to your glory and to your honor. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. He is so precious. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would like to turn with me over to Matthew, the fourth chapter. I'm just going to have a little exhortation this evening, praying that it'll stir our hearts. And everything I'll read this evening, we've heard many, many times. Just praying that it'll just maybe mean some way God will use it to strike our hearts. Matthew 4. And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May the Lord bless reading his word. You may be seated. It's a very familiar scripture. It's been read many, many times. And the prophet, while he was on the scene, repeated it multiple times through his messages. And by God's grace, us here in this building, our pastor has not been negligent to bring it back to our attention and to make sure to keep it ever before us. And, you know, as we look at the time in which we're living and the lateness of the hour, and realizing God has left all of his precious word here for us, and we see the time and the place. What an urgency we ought to be feeling in our hearts as we see that all around us, people are falling away from God's word and falling away from the truth and failing to obey all that God said. And how that Jesus putting it here that we should, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. And you know, when we think about that, it's just something. And I'd like to go back in the scriptures just for a little example. If you would turn with me to Exodus, and we're going to go back here and just pull out a little text here in Exodus, the 12th chapter. This is back in Egypt, where some things were fixing to take place. And I just want you to think about a little extra tonight of where we're standing. We've been going to church for a long time. We've been fellowshipping around the message of the hour for a long time. It's been preached to us and rehearsed to us. Each one, and I include myself in that, not is that all of us here, we've had the opportunity to have God speak to us. And I want you to think about that here as we begins here in the first verse. And the Lord, of the 12th chapter book of Exodus, first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, notice who was giving the instructions. The Lord spoke. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, and every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on two sides post, and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night and roast it with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, and his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And many, many times we've read this, we've heard about it, but I wonder if we could put ourselves back there tonight and truly stop and think about the seriousness that was in their hearts of what they were facing and what was about to take place, and realizing the instructions from the Lord were so clear-cut right down the line. He told them exactly how it had to be. And you know, as each one was going about preparing this, it didn't give them a whole lot of time to maybe focus on their neighbor or to focus on someone else's house to see how it was over there. But they were intent upon their own house and to make sure that that blood was where it was supposed to be and everything was prepared exactly the way that it should be. And you know, this was going to be a natural death. Realizing as he was going to smite the firstborn, what a soberness, what a seriousness came up over him. And can you imagine how, you know, they were making sure. Maybe they even took notes. Maybe they wrote down exactly what Moses said as he was speaking. Maybe they had a tablet there and they were writing it down, getting it precise, making sure that they had everything in line exactly the way God wanted it. And you know, at this point in time, realizing they had already seen all God was doing. They had seen what he was doing through Moses. They had seen Moses, when he spoke, flies came forth. When all these things had taken place up to this point, they had seen God in action. And they knew God was going to do what he said he would do. And you know, we've had a long time from then to now. And you know, it's God's word went forth of the hour that we're living and that this land is going to burn up. We realize there's going to be an end. It's going to happen precisely the way God said. But do we have concern with the instructions that's been laid down for us, that's laying here that it must be applied to me individually, you as an individual? God's word has got to be real to me as a person. Not that I'm a member of the church, I'm a member of this church, I'm a member of that church, but I am responsible as an individual before God to make sure that the very life that was produced through this Bible is living in me and out of me. It's highly important to be able, you know, many people back then could have said, well, Moses said this is the way it ought to be, but what if they hadn't applied exactly the way he said? That death angel would have struck their home. But Moses, this happened for a reason. This story, we may call it, it's back here. We've read about it. They've dramatized it. They've put it into movies. We've seen all of this take place and how as it goes on and time marches on and the word of God becomes deadened to some. Just as it was in Noah's day, as time went on, we can look back and see Noah come preaching a message. And as time went on, the people began to get more dull, and then they began to mock harder, and they weren't concerned with what Noah had to say. And that's the way a lot of people have become in this message. They don't care what God has had to say. As long as they know that, hey, I know there was a prophet come, that's all they're interested in. And as long as they can quote what he said, as long as they can repeat what he said, as long as they can rehearse what's been said, they think that's enough. But it's got to come down to you and I as an individual that can truly, in our own hearts, in our own lives, see this every word brought forth and bringing us under subjection to God's precious word. And you know, as we see this incident happened, and we can see through their obedience to God and applying it precisely, that death angel passed over them. And God kept his word, but they had to do it exactly the way God said. And you know, we can think about Brother Branham as he was speaking about Abraham. And I want you to think about obeying every word. As we think about it, it must be applied. It must be real, and it must be more to us than just following a religion or following a group, being a part of a group. You know, we come from a place where they believe they had all the word. They didn't need no more. They had reached a fullness of it. And so many people today, because they can quote what Brother Branham said, they can rehearse what's been brought to them, they think that's enough. But the evidence in the day of when that death angel was passing through the land, the evidence was the display of that blood upon the door. It was evident that it had been applied. And God sent a prophet in this age to prove to us that he brought the message, the token, and truly showing us that if this word was not applied, and it had to be where every passerby could see it manifested and taken place, we were going to perish. And how it ought to cause such a stir in our hearts. Many are not concerned with the coming of the Lord. Many are not concerned with what's been left here for us. They want to go on with their life. They want to partake of all the world has to offer. They just want to live like American citizens with no concern for what is going on and what this word is requiring in our lives. But how it ought to be becoming a greater reality to us as we draw closer to the appearing of the Lord. We can see the signs of the time all around us. We see what's taking place. Might be tonight, might be tomorrow, could be 10 years. I don't know, but I must know one thing. Blood must be above the door tonight. It's got to be now in our hearts. The urgency has to be now is the day that it must be visible for every passerby to see that that token is on display and living through us. And you say, well, what is it? What God's word is laying here. And as we'll get to it in a moment and read some things Paul said, but just think about this. As Brother Branham said this in Jehovah Jireh, preached March 12th, 1961. And he was speaking about Abraham, knowing God had come to him and told him to take and sacrifice Isaac. And realizing Abraham, he knew God had made the promise to him. But there was no argument to any. There was nothing. He'd done exactly what God said. unless, as Brother Branham speaks about it here, paragraph 221. And they went 3 days' journey, and then lifted up his eyes and saw the mountain where the vision had showed him afar off. And he got to the mountains, and when he got there, he said to the servants, "You stay here and listen to this." Genesis 22. "You wait here while the boy and I goes yonder to worship, and we shall return." Oh, that just does something to me. "Abraham, do you know what you've said? You're going up there to kill him. How are you going to return, you and him? The lad and I will return. Now watch." He put the wood upon Isaac's shoulder, a type of the true seed, Jesus, to make us Abraham's seed, and took the wood for the sacrifice to lay on, and upon his own shoulders, and when he climbed up Golgotha, and he got up to the top of the mountain, and there laid the wood out, and he put the fire on and everything, and little Isaac got suspicious, and he said, "Father," and Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Here is the wood, and here is the fire, and here is the altar, but where is the lamb for the offering?" What do you think of that old daddy? What do you think that old daddy thought? He said, "My son, God will provide a lamb." And that's why he called him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And little Isaac, he said, "Turn around, Isaac." And Isaac knew then. And watch. Submitting himself to death just like Jesus did, the true seed, he pulled him around, tied his hands and his feet, and laid him up on the altar. Pushed back his little black hair, his little brown eyes shining. What's mother going to say? He can't think of that. You got to do what God said. And think about this circumstance. But think about every circumstance in life. It doesn't matter what anyone else is going to say. When God's word has come forth to you as an individual, it don't matter. When God has revealed it to you that that's the way it has to be, it don't matter who has what to say about it. You're going to do it in full obedience to God's word. He said, "What do you think that old..." And little Isaac said, "Turn around, Isaac." His eyes shining. He said, "What's mother going to say? He can't think of that. You've got to do what God said." And mother says, "Don't you go down amongst them holy rollers. Don't you believe it? Do what God says." The doctor says, "You can't get well. Don't believe it. Believe what God says, see?" But he pushed back his hair, and he took the knife, and he pulled it out of its sheath, and he raised it up and just started to stab his own little boy to death. But when he raised his hand in full obedience, the Holy Spirit caught his hand and said, "Abraham, stay your hand. I know that you love me, or you wouldn't even spare your own son." And you know, do our actions truly declare in every circumstance that we're in full obedience to God's precious word? Have you stopped and truly considered all that's laying before us? And these were written for examples for us, but today it's our turn. And as Brother Smith was here and he was speaking about that book of Acts continuing on, have you thought about that? You know, sometimes people get in their mind it would just be the mighty signs and wonders that was taking place. But those people were living forth a life. There was actions going forth declaring Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. As they went forth preaching and teaching and the word being made manifest and people being born again and filled with the Spirit, their lives was expressing everything that was housed within Jesus Christ's life. The Holy Spirit in them bearing witness that they were witnesses of Him. And how it is today, we're to be witnesses of this word. And each one of us, you know, as we each one approach it, we each one got to have that seriousness to it with every word. You know, there's so many things the prophet brought and showed us and spoke on. And sometimes it gets so much to where we single out one thing and we want to hold to that. Or we'll single out an idea over here and we hold to that. But it's obedience to every word of God that must be. And every word must be of importance to us. And as we are focusing to that, are we truly focusing ourselves to God's word, or are we focusing ourselves to an idea, a past creed, a past theology we've heard, a past idea, or even a current idea? Am I opening myself up and saying, "Well, I will hold fast with this thing, I'll hold fast with that thing, but that over there I want nothing to do with"? And God's word's laying right before us. You know, we use it often, and it's one that we can always use, "But forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," Paul spoke. And that's one that's simple, and we can just push it out there, and we know what he said. But God looks at our heart, and as we stand before God, does he see that that's the desire of my heart? Does he see that I want to make sure that I am where that word is being brought forth, not just to be seen in church, not just to be seen by people, but I'm going there with a true hunger and a desire in my heart that, Lord, I need more of you today. And every time we gather around, God is looking upon our heart. He knows what we are, but do we see this in ourselves? We're to measure ourselves up by his word, not by ourselves. And as we think about this time, as you go back and you think about them in the night in Egypt, how they made sure everything was precise. They were doing it exactly right. And even Abraham in his situation, he took everything just exactly that he knew he needed to make that sacrifice the way God wanted it to be. And in full obedience, he done it all the way, knowing in himself he didn't know for sure how God was going to work that out. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and what God directed him to do, and he followed it to the letter and let God take care of the details. But he obeyed the word that was spoken to him. And how that ought to be burning on our hearts as we think about this. You know, in the message leadership, Brother Branham was speaking here, and he was speaking about Eve. And this was preached December 7, 65, paragraph 227. At the Garden of Eden, what caused death and all this sorrow? Every heartache, every little dying baby, every rattle in the throat, every ambulance screaming, every hospital, every graveyard was because Eve doubted one word, not all of it, and just perverted it. And God said, man, that's where he was to keep every word of God, and that's the first of the Bible. And in the middle of the Bible, Jesus came and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not just part of them, but every one. In the last of the Bible, Revelation 22, Jesus gave testimony of himself, the revelation of the Bible, and is Jesus Christ. And he said, whosoever shall take one word out of here or add one word to it, his part will be taken from the book of life. And now you go through that thinking man's filter, you'll find a holy man's taste when you come out of there, right? You'll have a saintly taste. And he uses this as an example. And we've heard it many times, but he says, sister, you wear those clothes and think you're okay. I'm virtuous to my husband. I'm virtuous to my boyfriend. I'm a virtuous girl. But what about that sinner that looked at you when he answers for adultery? Who did it? See, you'll be guilty. See, it was written in the word. Oh, be a thinking woman, be a thinking man. You might say, well, what if this does happen to be that way? He said so, and one word can't fail. And he's using this as one example. And sometimes, you know, we can see that, and God's word come forth and told us we should that women should dress modestly. That's one word. But how is every word important to us? Does every word strike me in that manner? As we go through this whole Bible, you can take everything that Jesus wrote. You can go through the four Gospels. You can go through Acts. You can go through Romans. You can go into 2 Corinthians all the way to the end and read what God has said. And there's so many words in there, but do you stop to think about how each one of those has to be applied? How we must truly be living? And that's why Jesus said in St. John 15, or 14 rather. St. John 14, 26. When the Holy Ghost has come, he will teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Because without it, we can't do it in ourselves. But he's here to provide us this guidance, this leadership, that we would truly yield ourselves to him in every way. And there's so much today that's written for us to partake of. And if you would, let's turn back here and read. Let's go to Philippians 2, where Paul was speaking here for just a moment. And if nothing else, it's obedience to every word of God. And how today we know God's word said one thing. Maybe we know it's laying out here, but we just won't come 100% to it. We can agree with it, but maybe we won't let it have full preeminence in my life. Where does that leave me standing tonight? Eve just said, maybe it's that way you thought. One word is all she left out. Are we willing to sway on one thing God's word has said? Are we willing to say, I don't have to go that far? It's not that necessary. It throws us out of line with God's precious word. Full obedience, Brother Branham said, in the token entitles you to the token. Full obedience to God's word. But here in Philippians, the second chapter, Paul speaking, just want to renew your minds to some of these things that he said. Philippians 2, and I've got the 12th verse written down here. Let's start about the 12th verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not in my presence only, but not now and more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And seeing all that Paul has spoken, that the Lord, who giveth Paul the things to speak? God told Paul to go and speak these things unto my bride. You know, as the scripture says, he spoke unto Moses and said, go speak unto the children of Israel. God sent Paul to speak to you and I, the Gentiles of this age, to hear this precious word and to see it applied to us. And all of it's laying here. If you think back to last Sunday, the messages our pastor preached before Brother Smith came. And then we think about Thursday evening as we were just talking about our wording and how we, our conversations, our life. It's the life that's lived. It's the life behind the name. We sing the little song that's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. Is there truly a life being lived out before people? Or do they see us truly trying to follow along with a group or following a thought or following along? But do they truly see a personal relationship between Jesus Christ and you as an individual? Not, well, I go to church. I can tell you where I go to church. I can tell you who my pastor is. And I can tell you what he believes. No, it's not what he said. You, personal relationship. What do you believe? And what has God revealed to you? And what has God said from this word that our lives are matching up by? And that goes for me too. Each one of us is an individual. Are we truly thinking about the seriousness of this? It's you and I that's going to perish. I can't worry about my brother. The word has come to protect me and to give me life. And to show me that where I can stand with an assurance of faith and to know that I have done all that the Lord has commanded me to do. Just as they were able to stand at that day in Egypt to know they could look at the doorpost and say, we've done it exactly right. They could look at the things inside the way he told them to prepare it. Their staff in their hands. They ate it in haste with their shoes on. Think about these directions that's been given. God is a God of precision. And he doesn't need to leave it to no private interpretation. He means exactly what he says, and he puts it right out there the way he wants it to be. But you know, as we see that, like Brother Branham, as I said, I use that for an example. And Paul, there's many circumstances through here of things that he brought individual pieces about, and the prophet has covered it all. But let's think about this. Let's just go to James and read this real quick. James, first chapter, just to kind of capture a thought. James, first chapter, and very, very familiar. But he says about the, let's just start at the 21st verse. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then James uses as an example, one example. And there have been many messages built off of this, but I'm just going to do it as an example. Just like Brother Branham had an example, he was just saying, look at this, you women, you want to dress like that? God's word already shows you where you're standing. Measure up by God's word and tell me that's right, and you'll know. And James, he goes on here to do the same thing. He says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so just think about these examples that God's word has been brought forward, and all these instructions are laying here before us, but do we truly consider them? And truly, are we monitoring them and letting it be in a burning forth in our hearts? Amen. I thought I had a scripture root down there. I must have. Amen. Let me see here. Real quick here. I just wanted to catch this if I have it. But yes. But you know, as Paul was expressing, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How we ought to truly that be burning in our hearts. And you know, Paul was expressing that and pushing that forth and speaking of obeying more in his absence and how the prophet came showing us the obedience to God's word. And it's all through the scriptures. It's all through there and the prophet come. But are we truly letting it lead us? And are we truly allowing it to take a hold in our lives to the point of we truly are looking here for our leadership? Or do we just want to wait till we come to service? And the pastor is going to tell me what I can do and what I can't do. And this is going to be how it's be. Or in my own mind, do I make excuses for what I'm doing that maybe God's word truly shows me? Not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Am I looking and weighing things through God's word? Am I truly measuring myself up by God's word? Or am I measuring myself up by my own standard? What I heard somebody say, what somebody told me I could do, what somebody said was okay? Or do I truly know and seek it out for myself and look and say, what did God say about that thing? Are we truly looking? Are we truly interested and realizing that God is speaking to you and I as individuals. And we're each one running this race that we may win. We may obtain the prize. We're reaching forward for that high mark and the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. But are we truly looking for that? Are we truly looking to be overcomers? Or are we just truly just kind of sitting here tonight? You know, each one of us, we may sit here and we may, I've been going to church all my life. And I've heard the preachers preach. And I don't understand this. And I don't understand. I don't know. That's not where it said. Start at the beginning. Repent and be baptized and ask Jesus Christ to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the most important thing. You get that and God will take care of the rest. But you've got to start where he said to begin. And that is the beginning. You must first realize that you've got a need in your life and you need him. No, you don't need the pastor. You don't need the church, so to speak. You need Jesus Christ and he will lead and guide you into all truths. And through that, he'll lead you to a good pastor. He'll lead you right to a church because he said that little heart of them believers just couldn't wait for the doors to open and they would be ready and waiting to get in. God's word never fails. You come to the word and watch him fulfill it exactly the way he said it was. But if you've got a longing in your life, you've got a void in your life, and you're like, I just don't know, and I don't know what this means, and I don't know what that, seek the giver of life, the God of the Bible. Seek Jesus Christ and him first, and watch all of these other things come to pass exactly in the manner he said they would be. But you've got to take him at his word, and you've got to go do it exactly and precisely the way God said it must be. Take him at his word and seek him with all your heart. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And he will come forth for you. But all you can't live on my religion as brothers and sisters. You know, me and Brother Kevin, brother-in-laws, we're wonderful together. We love each other. We do all we could for one another. But I can't live on his revelation and he can't live on mine. He's got to be our individual before God. We've got to each one see our place. We've each one got to be able to stand there and know that that's tokens applied in my life. It's applied in his life as individuals. And as brothers, we can link arms together and say, brother, we're going forward. But oh, it's an individual affair. This was in the message. This is in the Church Age book. And this was, I believe it's in chapter 9. And I printed it off and I forgot to write the page number down in the actual Church Age book. But it's the heading is the Overcomer's Throne. But I'm going to start a paragraph above that. His brother Branham was giving forth this little warning. And just to kind of stir our hearts tonight to the realization of the place we are and what we've been left for, what we've been given. We've been given a task. And oh, may we do it with diligence. May it truly be burning in our hearts to see this completed. And he says here, oh, elect of God, beware and study closely. Be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Rely upon God and be strong in his might. Your adversary, the devil, is even now going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Watch unto prayer and be steadfast. This is the end time. Both the true and false vines are coming into maturity, but before that wheat matures, those ripened tares must be bound for the burning. See? They're all joining the World Council of Churches, and that is the binding. Soon the garner of the wheat will come, but right now the two spirits are at work, and two vines come out from among the tares and start to overcome, that you may be considered praiseworthy of your for your Lord and fit to reign and rule with him. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And now what are we to overcome? This is the normal question to ask here, but that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. And now this is logical, for it does matter much what we are to overcome, as long as we know how we can overcome. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcome the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. In each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word, and Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word, and Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word, but Jesus overcome by the word. And right now, let me say, this is the only way to be an overcomer, and also it's the only way that you can know if you are overcoming, because that word can't fail. Now notice again how Jesus overcame the world's systems of religion. And when he was repeatedly badgered by the theologians of his day, he constantly applied the word. He spake only what the Father gave him to speak, and there was not a time when the world was not utterly confused by his wisdom, for it was the wisdom of God. And in his own personal life, contending with himself, he overcome by obedience to the word of God. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What was he obedient to? The word of God. Now then, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. Your prayers, your fasting, your repentance, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting in that throne. It will be granted only to the word bride. And as the throne of the king is shared with the queen because it is united to him, so only they who are the word, even as he is of that word, will share that throne. Remember, we have shown clearly all through the ages that even as Adam and Eve fell because they left the word, so the Ephesian age fell by turning slightly from the word. Until with every age continuing to turn away, we have a final repudiation of the word by the world church system. And the Laodicean age ends in the blackout of the world, thereby causing a departure of the Lord from the midst. And he stands outside calling to his own who follow him by obedience to the word. And after a short, powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. But notice what he said there. He said, but they're causing the departure of the Lord from the midst. But he stands outside calling to his own who will follow him by obedience to the word. And that's what has become so important as we see all that's laying before us and all that's around us. Do I have a longing to truly be obedient to God's precious word? And you know, if I feel something drawing in my heart, you know, is you follow in all you can. And we know how a Christian should dress. Maybe I don't have the Holy Ghost, but maybe I got a desire burning. Maybe there's something just scratching my surface of my heart, but do I try to follow the directions that I can, the best that I can, till he brings the fulfillment of it to me? And you know, each one of us, we must show forth to God a willing heart that we're seeking, that we're serious. And each one of us, as we go forth, are we truly trying to make sure that, Lord, I'm doing the best that I can with what you give me, but Lord, open my understanding. Is there a greater cry to reach out, or do I feel I read what he said, I've got it, I know exactly what it is, this is how I'm going to do it? But it's a personal revelation to you, Jesus Christ making this word personal to you. Not what brother so-and-so said, not what sister so-and-so says, not what this church believes, not what that church believes, but what God said and what God's word has went forth with a prophet. He sent a prophet to tie up all the loose ends. We're not left in darkness. We have children of the light. The word has been laid out open before us. And with the right attitude and objective to God's word, taken in prayer to God, watch him give the increase to what's needed in our life. But do we care enough about the obedience to God's word and to see these things come forth and to be a doer of the words which we've already heard? You know, God's blessed us here with a wonderful pastor. And look at how long we've been right here in this little building now, 20-some years, and our pastor has labored and preached and brought the word. But have we allowed the word to take effect in our life? Or have I just sat here trying to learn from my pastor so I can quote it the way he does or be just like him? But that was not what our pastor has done the whole time he's been here. He's been pointing us to Jesus Christ. The word must be made manifest and lived out through you as an individual. And how is we see that same example from Genesis to Revelations, God bringing himself and manifesting himself and revealing himself through the scriptures all the way down through, manifesting himself through the prophets, through Jesus Christ and through the apostles, right on down through the book of Acts and through the early church, and then right on down through time to today. It's our turn. And could they truly write a book of Acts? Is my life, the actions that I have every day as a housewife, the actions that go forth from me as a husband, raising my children, as a dad, working on the job, providing for my own, is every action that's taking place in my life, is it capable of being placed into a book of Acts that Jesus Christ is alive and living in me? Or do I just have to go through life saying, that's just my worldly nature, that's the way it was? Do you realize Peter and John and the rest of them were just like you and I? They were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you think they saw the worldly works of that old fisherman that used to be out there? No. They saw Jesus Christ on display. His life injected in them, had taken them over, and was displaying to the world that he was alive and the same. And he took an old fisherman. Can you imagine? You know, Peter, just think about it. Sometimes we might forget, but Peter was a fisherman, a rough man, a rough character. Just think of the out there on the seas, rough life, rough way of living. But when God called him, he changed his whole actions. As Brother Smith was reflecting on Paul, think about it. He was a man with desires and passions, and he's out there killing and putting to death the Christians. But look, when God got a hold of him, it was changed completely. And today, we might be good moral people. We might go to church and dress so good, but let God get a hold of our lives and watch our talking, watch every action change. No more my personality. Oh, that's how he was raised. That's where he come from. But you watch God come on the scene and watch our lives truly become sweet and humble and kind, long-suffering and brotherly love. You watch every act of the Spirit come right through these bodies. And it's who's doing it? You and I know, but Jesus Christ. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the birth, new birth living through us, you watch him take these bodies under subjection to his word. You know, I didn't bring it in with me, but in who is this Melchizedek? How Brother Branham said that when you receive that in life, it will throw this mortal body in subjection to God's word. And how we've seen it proven time and time again. And oh my, how we ought to be saying, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, fill me, clean up. That every action declares you. Lord, they can see the obedience. My life is shining forth with obedience to your precious word. And no one has to wonder. Nobody has to ask, I wonder if he's really a Christian. I wonder if she's really a Christian. I wonder if they really believe what they claim to believe. But no, daily our lives are sharing forth exactly what Jesus Christ said we would be. Amen. I pray it's a little something you can take a little, just a little searching from. But oh, what a glorious time in which we're living. And how it ought to truly be pulsating in our hearts. You know, as you think about somebody running a natural race, when they can see the finish line coming into play, how hard they drive. I know maybe they've already run however many meters they've ran. And maybe they're about out of strength. But when they can see that finish line come in, there's just something in them. There's an extra burst of energy. They're giving it all they've got trying to be the first one there. And oh, do we truly look at God's word that way? The finish line is coming in sight. And am I truly in prayer and trembling, looking at God's word and saying, Lord, is it right? Am I ready? Is it right where you want it to be? And am I weighing these things out truly for God's glory? Oh, I pray it'll stir your hearts. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. You know, God's word is precious and it's inspired. And I sure enjoy when our pastor's here. Amen. I'd much rather be sitting back there in the pew and just feeding on the God's word. But you know, tonight it's just my voice. But I'm feeding on this word the same as when I'm speaking it to you. I must be a partaker of it. We all must be a partaker of God's word, and it's got to be real to us. And it's not real to too many because they've let everything else come in. If you think about Brother Branham preached a message, the voice of God in the last days. And in there he said the voice of God would become so foreign that if it would speak right in their midst, many would miss it. And you know, I heard an older brother say not long ago, he said, if Brother Branham was to come back in a young body and preaching the same message, the message wouldn't accept him. And you know, that's truth. When you can truly see, they've rejected what he brought anyway. They don't want to follow it. Oh, let me get a tape recorder and push play and let me listen to that and not listen to a minister, the fivefold ministry that God provided, that God set in order. Think about these things. How easy and simple it seems for us to say, it's okay for me to do this thing. And God's word's laying there. You step across God's word, where are we at? One word. And that goes for all of us. On any action, anything we're looking at, one word across God's spoken word, and look where we stand. How is it we should so carefully weigh everything? Our words, our speech, the way we treat our children, the way we treat our wife, the way we treat brothers and sisters, the way we treat a sinner, the way we treat everything we're doing. Do we truly want God's word to be expressed, or does it just not matter? Or we don't think about it till we get to church and it's a church service or it's Sunday service. You know, so many have done away with having 2 and 3 services a week because it just seems like it's too much burden. And you know, I was talking with a brother and how it's burning in his heart to see going back to 2 to 3 services a week. And not just so he can preach, but he sees the need of being where God's word is. He sees the need of why we need to be underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, seeking God and having God speak to us and asking and crying out for revelation of God's word to enlighten us and to bring us to that place he wants us to be. And can you see why Paul knew as the days got so dark, he was saying, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Even more so as you see that day approaching. Why? It was going to be evil everywhere around us. Think about it. We come in here for 3 services a week, and this is the only time when we truly get to shut the world completely out. Everywhere else we go, it's constantly right in our ear. Satan has made it so easy, it comes right in our homes. Our phones are always going off. There's always things going on. Is your focus, you know, you can't hardly get your focus to stay on God's word for more than a few minutes because of all that's happening around you. Phone rings, people's calling. This is happening, that's happening. This needs done, that needs done. But are we truly going to overcome this world and give our soul the undivided attention to Jesus Christ that our life would be a reproduction of his precious word? Oh, saints, we got a long way to go, and a press, may it be in our hearts to press, to climb, and to see Jesus be made first and foremost in our life. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. I wonder if we could just sing that little chorus, Jesus Got a Hold of My Life. Amen. Well, Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't. Amen. He's got a hold of my life. God, don't let me go. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life. Got into my soul. Oh, I used to be oh so sad. But now I'm free and I'm glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Amen. Sing it again. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my life, got into my soul. Amen. Oh, I used to be oh so sad. But now I'm free and I'm glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Amen. Oh my, may we truly be a people that I don't want him to let me go. Amen. And you know, as I said, as we mentioned things like how a lady should dress or how it's every word. We can't pick and choose. Well, I'm going to do this one, but I'm not going to do that one. And even though it don't get mentioned, maybe the pastor doesn't mention it, doesn't come across, but does every word, does it apply to me? And does that my desire? May that truly be the burning. As Lord, let every word be made real to me. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we just are so thankful for your word. And Lord, I'm in my feeble attempts of trying to bring it, Lord, I'm not near eloquent as I should be, Lord. I'm not going to make excuses, Lord. I can only do with what you give me to do. But Lord, I just pray that your precious word will stir in our hearts, Lord. Maybe something that was read this evening or something that was mentioned, Lord, that it would stir us greater, Lord, to a place, Lord, of truly surrendering ourselves to you in such a way that you could do a work in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, like we've never seen. Father, there's a higher rung, there's a higher height, a greater surrenderance for place for each and every one of us, Lord. And Father, I pray tonight that you will just strengthen our hearts, stir us, Lord. Let us be a people that is burning on fire inside, Lord, with you, for you. And press this world aside, Lord, and press aside all that's trying to close in around us. And truly put our focus back on you. And Father, we just pray you'll bless those that couldn't be here tonight, strengthen them, encourage them. And Father, if you should tarry, bring us back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, may we come hungry, asking you to feed us. And we'll never fail to give you all the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, isn't he precious? May the Lord richly bless you. You're all